want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at tinfoilhatcast, reddit.com/r/tinfoilhatshow,
on Instagram at tinfoilhatpod,
or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Welcome back to another episode of
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Come with me into the waters of conspiracy with Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Sam
Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Mr. Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
With my friend Ryan Davis.
Hi, Ryan.
We're like the first gay couple of conspiracy theory.
I think it's beautiful, man.
Hold up there, partner.
Say that again.
Dark realm, crazy shit.
Wake up, Aaron. There's reptile people everywhere.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Yes, the revolution will be podcasted. I believe that more and more. Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know who we do. Good to see my good friend. I love him with all my heart. Off the Grid is here, everybody.
Hey-o! Big announcements.
Big announcements. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We got a wonderful show for you. But before we begin, we would love to get into our giant announcement. We're proud to announce that Tinfoil Hat has been asked to be part of Skankfest in New York City. That's right. We're going to be out there. Woo-hoo! We're going to be doing our live podcast with our special guest from the Tim Dillon is Going to Hell podcast. Tim Dillon, everybody. So we will be out there. Stand-up comedy and Tinfoil Hat. So grab your tickets now. I know where they do the room. It's a very tiny room. I know where they do the shows. They're very tiny rooms.
They moved
rooms
to this year. So this year is going to be crazy. They only have tickets left for Sunday. It's going to be July 14th and 15th at the Brooklyn Bazaar. Four stages. They're going to be doing live podcasts. We're talking Dave Attell, Rich Voss, Sam Tripoli, Ari Shaffir, you name it, dude. It's going to be ridiculous.
So Dave Attell. We're 8 days out. And, oh, no, we're how many days out?
Ten days out.
So grab your tickets now. We're going to get Off the Grid Ryan out there. We're trying to figure out how to do. I might put him on a bus.
Might ship me in a crate, like Walmart style. You
yeah,
know?
I might throw you in a suitcase, and then I take the bus, and you're my suitcase.
Hey, I'm down.
So
I'm down.
We'll figure it out. However, we can keep that down. And then real quick, this Thursday night, I'm at the Dojo. If you want to check that out, the Dojo Comedy, just go to thedojoofcomedy.com. You can find your tickets there. And then Saturday night, I'm at the Dojo of Comedy 2 for the UFC, the big UFC fight. So go check it out. Welcoming to, I'm very excited. Sorry, was I loud there? I'm very excited to have our next guest on. I've been friends with one of them for a very long time. That does not mean she's old. She's very young. But I knew her when she was a baby. And we've been friends ever since. They have a wonderful podcast called Karen and Kara Can Read. Please welcome to the show, Karen Rontowski.
Rontowski,
yay! God damn it, practice that. And Kara Stotanovich. Welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Hey,
welcome.
Thanks. We look more alike today. We're both wearing a black hat and our glasses, and I have some scruff, too.
You look like we you look teach so, gun safety right now.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Point down range.
I do. My gun safety is please don't shoot our kids.
It's very interesting. As I talked about Skankfest, I'm like, oh, we got two females on.
Yes.
And then I see your hat.
We can be skanky.
Oh, shank.
Shank. Close
shank.
Enough. Yeah.
So you're not skank. You just shank.
Yeah. No, I you know, I went to college.
It's
so
golfing. Is that what we're talking
no,
about? It's not knifing people?
Well, all right. We'll just say golfing.
There you
I
go.
Don't want to say it in front of Karen. She's a vegan. she's the real deal. Like, she did yoga 5 times already today.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
I don't want to offend her. It's a pig part. Sorry.
So tell us a little bit about you guys, about you and your podcast and what you guys do. And then we'll get into the whole thing.
Well, we do readings for, I was always into tarot and doing tarot readings. And a long time ago, Kira was like, I can do a reading on you. And I was like, okay. She did a reading for me and it was great. And then she had me on her podcast one time. And
Aaron was there.
Aaron,
you were
Aaron's
there.
Always there.
Aaron, I didn't know that was Aaron. Yeah.
It was
and
my
we had
idea.
Such a good time.
Oh,
look who's
Aaron,
taking credit.
Who's the executive producer.
Aaron's in his comedy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was a hit.
So she came on my podcast, my parenting podcast. I made an exception.
Okay.
Because I was promoting her and she was doing, she does her paranormal stuff. Like Karen has all this paranormal. So I was like, come and promote, right? We'll do something different. And I think our guest had bailed last second. Anyway, so.
It's strange how the universe works out,
yeah.
right?
I know. And I did a reading for her just for funsies. And she was like, well, everything you said is 100% true.
She's the best. I'm a student. She's the best natural reader I've ever seen. And I don't I'm a student, like I don't do it, but I mean I study my way into this, but she's just right off
the bat. You are natural and you had to put the grind
in. I work at it, yeah. But yeah. I do it during the day too.
But let me give you an example. So we do our podcast, right? So it's Karen with her tarot cards, and I usually have to touch the person. That's just how I connect with people. And we'll have comics, and this happens almost every episode, almost, where we'll say like, okay, here's an example. You were in a motorcycle accident. You had a motorcycle. And the person says, yes. And I go, you had a really bad accident. You had like road rash all up and down your back. And they go, yeah, actually I did. I fell and I had road rash like all up and down my back. He goes, good guess. And I'm just like, dude, I can't guess that. Like
it's
that's
so weird,
impossible
right?
to yeah. guess. But people, for some reason, they're like, wait, what's happening? It's a lot for them to wrap their brains around.
It scares people.
It really
does.
That there's more going on that they know.
Right.
I have a cousin of mine that if you could hand him anything, put it in his hand, he'll tell you the whole history of it.
Psychometry.
That's something called psychometry?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and he can do readings with that. Yeah.
Really?
He's picking up the vibrations. In fact, the lady that taught me tarot, she doesn't, you don't touch her cards. She has a bunch of crystals, and you hold some crystals, and you hand them back to her, and she does a reading from there, because it's too intense when she touches. So, yeah.
Why have people kind of like push this to the fringe, do you think? Do they like, oh, look at the,
I
don't want to be crude.
Why do they burn witches to begin with, you know?
I mean, there's so many psychic readings. I think they're a front for like cocaine and hand jobs.
They probably are.
Some of them maybe, because people always talk about, like, I'm a tarot historian. When I say, that's what I mean by student. Like, I study the decks through where they came from, this and that. But people don't understand, like, one lady, when I first started out, I was like 20 a reading, which I'm not now. And she was like, oh, that was a great reading. My husband said you were going to Google me and find out all this stuff. And I was like, really? So for $20, I was going to spend 5 hours researching you?
Yeah.
And I think that there's... it's very hard to make a living at it. Like I can make a living at it now, but I think it's not as much fraud out there as people think. Sometimes there's people I think that want to be psychic. They really want to, and they don't want to do the work. But as for fraud, no, I think they could be fronts for other
some
stuff,
of them. But
it's
again,
really hard.
I've had shitty dentists. You know what I mean? Like there are a trillion dentists out there. And I remember I got a terrible root canal, went online, I should have done this beforehand, looked him up, and there were just hundreds of terrible Yelps. This was before Yelp was really a thing to look at, but like all these bad reviews, and I'm like, oh my God, I got the bad, shitty dentist out of the million in Los Angeles.
I get that. You know, we're conspiracy theorists. I'm one of the weird ones that actually... I'm proud of it. And, you know, we are represented by the crazies. Like, the crazies only get on television, and it's done to demonize and make everybody look like, oh, look at Alex Jones. And I have nothing against Alex Jones. You know, a broken clock's right twice a day, right? So he has some right stuff. And then he says some stuff, and you're like, that's making us look bad, because there's a lot of truth out there that we fight to get out, and people refuse to look at it because they want to take the one thing they didn't agree with Alex Jones on. And it's this new, I don't know if it's new, because we talk about, you know, all these guys from the past who kind of use this train wreck mentality of how to promote. You like say the craziest shit.
If you guys had a show like his, would you be crying every episode and screaming and yelling? And, you know, he has to make everything
frantic
insanity.
Promotion,
well,
the scary thing about him, and there's some other people who are in this world, is they now use anybody who says anything bad about them to ignite their followers.
Right.
Be like, they're coming at us again. And then the horde comes, you know, and it's that way of promotion, and it's no different than what Kim Kardashian does or Trump does or Kanye West does. It's just this thing. So what happens is these crazy people, bringing it back to what we're talking about, represent, they come to represent us with the population. So when a TV show has a psychic on and they look really bad, now all psychics look really bad.
Right.
And it's like, well, who goes on that show
right.
is a certain type of person
right.
that does not represent the entire group. It's kind of like when we talk about politicians, like we really want our politicians to be these loving, caring, charity working people. But what we find out is like those people don't run for office.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't run. They don't want that.
Or they don't last.
Well, yeah,
they might run.
And it could be applied to comedy and all that.
Right. Well, here's the thing with Karen, especially. So when we met like years and years and years back, she just like mentioned to me that she does ghost hunting.
Oh, I love this.
And my husband is obsessed with ghost hunting shows. He actually worked on two different ghost hunting shows as a producer, you know. And I was just like, okay. I'm not saying I didn't believe her, but I was like, all right, cool. You know, like I support that. And then I used her as a ghost hunter in my house because when we moved last year, Karen had to come and figure out what the fuck was going on in my
house.
Yes. And I brought a medium and then Karen came and then
I brought a medium.
I've had like three mediums. I've had Karen over. She brought bells to ring and we saged and we did everything. I mean,
really?
Yeah.
Without getting too specific, is it an older area of LA?
No. Hmm. No, I don't think. See, you can answer better.
That's not, especially lately, that's not connecting. That's not always the thing. What I would say more about California has a drastic history of wars and gold rush and, that kind of stuff. So it doesn't necessarily have to be older. I think there's way more out there now than people are aware.
It's a lot of energy happening.
Yeah. And LA has a lot of energy that sort of, gives these things more. And we're in an astrological time now where it's way more apparent. It's like the veil is getting thinner. So if people I used to see ghosts as a little kid, all of a sudden they're calling me like, what? Why am I seeing them again? It's like it's all universe is expanding.
And we've talked about this on past podcasts, like LA itself is a hotbed for way back in the day, like Jack Parsons and the cult and all that stuff, because the energy that's here.
Right. Yep.
And in the Southwest itself, like Arizona, there's portals and stuff like that, that in this area over time, whether it's Native Americans and stuff like that, there is some like, I don't know, voodoo shit going on that has brought the energy here. It's almost like Ghostbusters, where mm-hmm. it's like New York City represented this place where all the ghost energy was. Well, I think Southern California is somewhat like that.
I went through a wormhole once.
What?
Not to...
That's the best sentence. It sounds like a sexual euphemism. Yes.
I had this medium friend that I used to hang out with, and I think when her and I got together, the energy was just so freaky, we would have very strange experiences. And I was doing a gig in Yuma. And
there was no coke involved with this?
Not in the beginning.
Okay.
So we're driving down. We're going the regular way down the 5, over the 8 to Yuma. I used to live in San Diego. I know every street. I know everything. I used to live on the other side of the 8. I pick her up. We stop in Carlsbad for gas, get a receipt, timestamp on the receipt. We start driving down, the CD starts to skip, and both of us look down and go to touch the CD. Then we go, oh, like that funny, we did it at the same time. We look up, there's a giant wall, there's a huge wall, and I go, I have no idea where we are.
Wow.
And she starts screaming, oh my God, we're in Tijuana. And I was like, no, we can't be, because we didn't pass Garnett, we didn't pass SeaWorld Drive, we didn't pass Rosecrans, we didn't pass the 163, we didn't pass anything. We pull off, she calls her husband, oh my God, we're in Tijuana. We were in Tijuana, it took us 5 hours to get out, because it was Saturday. You ever try and get out of Mexico?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have the right passports, we were like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? They totally didn't care. And we did the time stamp on the receipt to the time on her phone, and there was no way we could have made it that distance in the hour that we were driving. There was no way.
Unbelievable.
It was.
And that's where I was talking about. There's portals and
yes.
stuff. Do you ever go to drive to Vegas? You see XXXXZ.
Yeah.
There is supposedly something at the end of that road that to the point that the government has locked that thing down. You can't go to the end. It's like a military base or something. And there's supposedly mm-hmm. some kind of portal.
Well, do you know Joshua Mann?
No.
Okay, he's a comic. He and I did a gig up. So you're driving to Vegas, but then you like turn off around there, and there's actually in the mountains I'm going to say army base. I don't know. I'm going to assume army. Maybe Marine Corps, but it's a military base.
Let's just say military.
And we had a gig there, and we drove separately. And as I was driving, it's empty. It's completely empty. I'm driving up there. I'm way early because you never know, right, with traffic to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I'm like 2 or 3 hours early. So I decide to pull over, open up my luggage, and look for something. And I swear to God, there was a Hills Have Eyes moment. I hear people walking behind me and talking. There's no one fucking behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in my car so fucking fast. I thought, well, maybe someone drove by and the radio was on. But I heard like people like, hey, what's up? Like murmuring and people talking. And I'm like, fuck this. Yeah. I slam the trunk. I'm looking. There's nobody for miles. And I jump in the car and I'm like driving like a maniac into these mountains where the base was. Crazy. It was so fucked up.
There is so much crazy. And I want to get back into ghosts, but you know, we got to do an episode on this. But there's this whole discussion that, you know, the invasion of Iraq in the early year 2000s. And when they say there's weapons of mass destruction, they believe that the actual weapons of mass destruction that they are talking about is a Stargate.
The very first things that were raided by black ops guys, mercenaries, before we even went in, were the museums. And there was a very specific wings of the museums where there was ancient Sumerian and honor, like the type of things that would be very necessary for ancient technology to be recreated. So the idea is that Saddam Hussein had a Stargate.
Well, he thought he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And he wore that necklace or something like that, that it was supposed to be. They would put the necklace on the cow and try and shoot the cow, and they couldn't. Like, it was supposedly had some power like that. But there's a, you'll have to look up this reference. There's something about when I don't know if this is when the master falls or something like that, they will know from his teeth. And you notice when they first got him, remember they were saying, they're checking his teeth. Remember that picture of him and he's going like this and they were showing his teeth?
Oh.
That's like a signal that we got your guy. That this is going to end now.
Oh, my God.
I can't remember that. I'll have to look it up. But remember you know, they pulled him aside and they were pulling at his teeth?
Well, they gave him a whole medical exam.
Right, but they made sure to show, checking his teeth over. Oh,
because he had
over.
So many body doubles as well. Like, he had all these guys around. You're like, which one is like, it's whack-a-mole at this point, you know? Right. And it's very funny because you say, oh, Saddam Hussein thought he was an incarnation of this guy. And everyone's like, oh, so stupid. And then we're like, hey, the Dalai Lama's here. And he's like the 90th version of this guy. And we're all like, yeah, it makes sense.
We want to meet
Dalai Lama.
Well, we think that person lives a spiritual life. And we don't think Saddam Hussein lives a spiritual life. So how can someone that's so destructive and evil... You know,
but we don't really know who Saddam was. I mean, like, I don't want to, like, get too much into geopolitics, but, you know, it's like we get told by people that take paychecks from military industrial people to demonize certain people. I'm not saying in any way that Saddam was a good guy, but we don't know the extent to what he really was doing at any point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and also Karen knows a lot about who are the evil people that poses jinns.
Mm-hmm. What?
They're
smokeless
from,
fire.
They're from that part of the world, and they are like pure evil.
Most of them, yeah, they're shapeshifters, and there's some good ones, but they are. That starts with this. That's good segue. That starts with this. The story of Solomon in the Bible. He was given a jinn to make his wishes come true, and so that's where we get the genie Aladdin in the bottle. Is the jinn. And in the Middle East, they make deals with the jinn. They marry their kids off to them sometimes. Most of them are bad, yeah. There's land where people don't go because... So there's a little bit like our interpretation of a demon, but yet quite different. And they can shapeshift into people and stuff like that. And I heard that people that lived in Iraq, it was like that little concentration near Saddam. The rest of them were like... No, we have porn. We drink. Well, it's not that nobody
it was
comes
very
out here.
Secular.
Nobody bothers us out here.
You know, and that's a big thing that we like to do. We like to take out the secular people and put in these religious crazy people to just basically make people's lives miserable. And that's kind of how we destabilize the whole area. But let's get into how did you guys get into, how did you say, you know, you've been in this kind of world for a long time. How did you get into the paranormal and stuff like that?
I was always, you know, like when I would go on the road, I would always find the most haunted places and I would go there and I kind of did it alone. And then I was like, well,
but what made you get into that? Like, was there a moment when you were a kid where you're like, what was that? Or a ghost? Or was there somebody talking to you? Because I'm convinced dogs can see.
And babies.
Dogs and babies. I think cats are just webcams. We were talking about with Jason.
Cats are webcams?
They work with the lizard people, and they're just spying on us.
Well, I know cats. There's a be. There's an all spec camera that you used in ghost hunting that is actually the same shape as a cat's eye, because that's why they can see so many more colors on the spectrum than we can.
Yeah.
And my best friend's an animal communicator, so
can we please get in touch with them?
Yes. Oh yeah. You'll love Sonia
for sure.
She and I used to look for lost animals together. She could see what the animal would see, and I'd take out the tarot, and I know east, west, north. There's a statue. There's a blah blah blah, and it would take a long time, but what would always throw us off was time, because we believe that animals can interdimensionalize, like probably like a Bigfoot or something. Like, we had a dog that ran away. Owner puts the sweater on the dog. The dog takes off. We're like, the dog's coming back. We're not sure where the dog come back. 3 months later, dog comes back. Same sweater. Not dirty. Not dirty at all. Someone would have had to take the dog, wash the sweater, set him loose, and send him free. 3 months later. We have had situations where we went through everything. We were like, there's a big, you have a furnace outside, and there's a pink building. And this woman was like, yes, I bought an abandoned zoo, which I don't know why she did that. But we're like, the cat is
Matt Damon
in,
asked her to do it.
The cat is in the wood pile. The cat is in the wood pile. Nothing. Months later, the kitten's in the wood pile. Like, it's, we cannot get time with them. So it's kind of fascinating.
It's 100% fascinating. Yeah. And I believe it all.
My best friend lost her cat. She asked me so many times, because only a few people up until we have our podcast now, the world. But I didn't talk about this to anybody. And maybe five people knew. And she called me. She's like, I can't find Scotch. That was his name. And I go, well, he's in. I told her, you know, I'm from San Francisco. She lives near Golden Gate Park. I told her exactly where to go. And she asked me, but then didn't follow my advice. He was gone for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I go, just go to where I'm telling you.
Really?
And I told her exactly where to go. It's like the end of Hate Street, where Hate meets up with Golden Gate Park, the panhandle, and there's a bridge and there's a thing. I told her exactly where to go. Finally, she did it after weeks. It's just like, if you would have just done this right when I told you, you would have had your cat back so much sooner.
And the cat was there?
Yes.
And how did you know that?
Because I don't know.
You just know.
I don't know.
They're just like, go there.
I honestly don't know. Karen can tell you how I know. I can't tell you how I know.
I believe all this. I have this ability to see how things are going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I use like...
By the way, I think all humans can if they tap into it.
It's just a different level of vibration. These are all different levels of vibrations.
So like,
all
the information. I can see shit that's about to happen. So it's like, I'm really good at like taking information of the past and using it to kind of play it out to the future. And like, nobody's 100% right. I think once you talk about something, it changes. It could change the outcome just by talking about it. Someone could just shift the energy like, that's not going to happen. But I can see how it plays out. So I believe all this stuff.
Well, here's someone that was like, I asked them to be on, I won't name their name, but I asked them to be on the podcast and he goes, nah.
Howie Mandel.
I said, we have to shake hands because I do have to touch him. It's done. It was a comic and he goes, there's no way, I don't believe in it. You can't possibly know. And I go, have you ever played chess? By the way, I'm terrible at chess, but have you ever played chess? Well, I know, you know, basically. And you know, great chess people, they can like look at a game. They go into the future. They can tell you all the different ways, what's possible. And they can already be like, you know what? You won. I'm out. How? Yep. Because their mind can just expand into that realm because they just know the rules and the possibilities, and they just, in their brain, they can go ding, 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 ding.
And that's where their focus is. Yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know how Karen, because Karen is magical with her cards in her own way, but that's kind
magical
of
Karen.
What I do. You know, I kind of, that's, I just kind of try to reach around, like do a reach around, you know, you're very familiar with
call
those.
It Thursday night. So when was your first interaction in with the paranormal in terms of ghosts? Was it as a child? I remember as a kid, I remember this very distinctly, man. I had a babysitter, and we had this hat. And we would put stuff under the hat, and we'd be like, boom, 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 disappear, and open it, and it was gone. But as a kid, I just didn't think anything of it. But I remember just like this magical hat could make shit disappear all the time. And then as a kid, you like kind of move on. You're like, okay, hat makes stuff disappear. Next thing, ooh, there's a dog, you know, and then you just chase the dog. So it's like.
I think you were molested, dude. Yeah. Not sound
listen, I
like
came
a
close twice.
Story.
I have a joke about it. I think it's because I'm a grower, not a shower, that it never So do you have a?
I always had for some reason I had imaginary friends, which now I just believe are guides. But the very first experience when I was very young, my sister had epilepsy, and
my father has that.
Yeah, we went to the beach, and the waves were enormous that day, and that was a big deal when we went to the beach as kids. 5-hour drive, day trip, blah blah blah. She wouldn't go in the water because she thought she was going to have a seizure, and so everybody's like, "You got to go in. We're going to leave soon. You got to go in." So she goes in. She's about 20 feet from me. And she goes over the first wave, and she turns around and screams at me, "Oh my God, I'm going to have a seizure." Now she's next to my dad. Oh. So I run over to her, and she puts her arms around my neck, and she sits on my waist, and I start to run in towards shore. And then I go, "No, no, no, no." And I turn around and start to run out deeper. And what happens is this huge wave comes in. My dad said the only thing that made it over the curl was her head, because I jumped into it backwards. And he said, "Had you been in any closer, you would have tumbled." And then when we got to the shore, I said to my dad, "You were right next to her. Why didn't you grab her when she screamed?" And he said, "She never screamed." And she said, "I froze. I never screamed." So that was my first sort of different.
So you, oof, I just got chills. So
that
you
would be what
sensed...
That's kind of telepathy. You do that a lot. You do that a lot. That's where picking up other people's thoughts. That's what animal communication is. So they can communicate with animals and babies. But when you're talking about seeing a situation forward, there's a guy that talks about remote viewing, and I think he explained it better than anyone, is if you have a lake and you're skimming stones on that lake, but you immediately freeze the lake and you take one chunk, just an inch of ice out of that. If you can analyze that inch of ice, you can figure out where the stone hit, what vibration was going through. All the information is in that little piece of ice. So that's kind of what psychic stuff is we have all the information in that little piece, and then you have to expand the vibration outward and just understand and know.
When it comes to ghosts, because you have a lot of stuff going on, you have telepathic reading, you have paranormal stuff.
I don't do all of that. Most ghost stuff is medium. Speaking to the dead is medium. She has a lot of medium stuff going on.
She has the equipment.
I have the equipment.
Instrument, and she plays the instrument.
Well, I can sense, and I kind of know when I do Reiki, so I know energy. Really heavy in here. Reiki's energy healing.
Okay, I've never heard that.
It's it's sort of getting people through their blocks and getting certain, getting the energy flow going through them better, so they sleep better, they have more energy, whatever they're looking for. I can sense stuff. Sometimes I get some medium hits. It's just not my particular focus. But when I ghost hunt, I want photos. That's what more than EVPs, I want
you
photos.
You want photos of the spirits?
Yeah.
Or the energies
or whatever. And I'm real, that's kind of my favorite thing. But I do, we do EVPs and whatnot. But yeah, you have different levels. You can have a residual haunting, which is just like I was in the Portland tunnels. And the tunnels in Portland that they used to Shanghai people in?
Shanghai people.
Oh, they used to sell them for slavery. You'd be in a bar, they'd drug you, mm-hmm. The floor would drop out, you'd wake up on a ship. And
really?
You were sold into slavery.
Headed
all
to China,
over
you were going to Shanghai, and you'd been Shanghaied.
And these were Asians that they did this to, or just
it was actually
hipsters
the city of
Portland
that were
sailors.
Making money off it.
That's why when comics start working cruises, they call it getting Shanghaied.
Really?
No.
No, but that was great. That was great. That's it feels
career,
like that.
My career is going to go Shanghai very soon.
She just got Shanghai.
Yeah. I'm doing an interview in the tunnel with one of the guys, and he goes, well, Portland has a dark history. And right between him and me saying, tell me about it, there's a voice that screams, please help me. And it's so, I had it, you know, you adjust this. I adjust the sound loud as I could. I couldn't tell if it was a male or a female because the voice was cracking like it had been screaming forever. So that's probably a residual haunting that someone screamed that energy is so intense that it's like a video that keeps repeating itself. That might not be that soul stuck there. That might be that with such intensity screaming, please help me, that it left an energy imprint.
You know what I'm about to talk about. In 9/11, there's this event that is so big that it ripples through time, mm-hmm. both forward and backwards. And that's why when you see people, they're like, oh, dude, did you see this? This was in 1985, and it basically said 9/11 showed the Twin Towers. And you're like, well, that could be a ripple effect of like the energy of a major event.
Also, 2 weeks before 9/11, therapists all over New York City were getting phone calls, people calling going, I don't know what happened. I'm so sad all of a sudden. I'm so depressed. I feel like crying all the time. And I think that was the pain of the towers rippling backwards.
Oh, my God.
And they're probably empaths, probably.
Yeah.
Because
right?
those that are seeing like therapists tend to be more sensey, like myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're like, I'm in a deep funk, but they're feeling the wave coming.
Yeah, right. I do a lot of shows on Paranormal Karen on empaths and energy protection because I think way more people are empaths than they know. And that's why you were talking about L.A. I think L.A. is like this huge bundle of energy that, like, if you're having a bad day, go out and say, I'm having a bad day. Watch everybody in line at the grocery store go, yeah, yeah. Like, energy in L.A. sweeps on a big level where I feel like everybody can be having the same day at the same time. And it's very hard to separate because you got all these actors who are probably half empaths, half channeling, and everybody's energy is big and creative and it's going on. So that's why I think some people dislike LA, whereas like I think I love the, you know.
I love the energy at the airport.
Yeah.
Like you'll go away and you're like, oh, I'm so happy I'm getting out of LA. And then you'll be away for 2 days. You're like, oh, I kind of miss the energy. And then you get to the airport and it is just like, you're hit with like electricity.
I'm home.
I always feel like LAX for me feels like I'm walking into a daytime rave.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, unch, 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 unch. And I'm like, I land and I go to baggage claim and I'm like, okay, I'm back.
Are there different types of ghosts? Are there, I mean, like we saw, you know, obviously Ghostbusters. I went and saw that movie like 8 times. And I know it's not actual representative of anything, but, you know, it's a Class A 47 Nightwalker or something. Like, are there different, even within your profession, different types of ghosts?
Well, you'd have your, in hauntings, you could say, you have your regular ghost, which is a human being, or human soul was human, maybe human. Then you sort of go into different categories. You can have elemental spirits, you can have fairies, you can have, demons are way high on the list. Like, everybody thinks something is a demon, and a lot of times it's not. You can have djinn. There's like a kind of a million things between there. In fact, one of the new thing that I heard when I was in the Portland tunnels, they talk about a soul. There's a big guy that wears black, and I could see him in my mind, and he kept other ghosts trapped in the tunnel, and he's called a soul collector because he's trying to earn.
And what does he look like?
To me, he was very, very fat. And I felt like he had the hairline was back, but the hair was over. Not in like I'm trying to hide my thing, like just like he was just greasy. He was fat. He had a very strange belt. And for some reason, the belt stuck in my mind. I don't know if it was like rope or something like that. But he, all these people have passed over. And it's just like in the real world, he's bullying these souls to stay. But I feel like he was different because a soul collector is somebody who's trying to earn their stripes to get to be a demon. So he's got to do something horrible, or I'm not that. It was like I'm looking into it now, and it's really hard to find information on it. But I feel like that's a very rare, rare thing that someone makes that a human soul jumps to another classification. Mm. But there's all kinds of different things that it could be. I had in my apartment once. I used to have people in my apartment all the time doing whatever past life regression. We did a fairy spell one night, and we were all like, bah! whatever. You know, what could it, how could it hurt? Piece of string, piece of chocolate. And my friend Tommy's there, and he's a demonologist, and he's like, not doing it. And we're like, why are you saying, not a good idea. That's what he does. He lets everyone get in trouble when he knows better than all of us. Not a good idea. Sure enough, I woke up and something was not only in my apartment, but it got attached to me, and I became like so angry and upset, and it was a fairy attachment, and it's kind of a long story, so
we just did we have a Patreon with this show, and I just interviewed a guy that basically hooked up with this woman, and she grabbed his, like, she later on showed pictures of stuff that she had stolen from him.
Oh.
And then he when they were hooking up, he heard voices, and like it's this whole story of him going through basically trying to, he's Jewish. He went to all these like churches just because he couldn't find any synagogues and to get this like whatever energy was on him.
Attachment,
and
he needed it removed.
The whole story was that.
Well, when Karen brought a medium to my house to figure out why my 3-year-old, she was 2 at the time, wasn't sleeping at all. And I'm talking every night, up all night long. So imagine I'm a comic. I get home 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm up at 1, then I'm up at 2, then I'm up at 3. Then I'm up at 4. Then I'm up at 5. Like, it was all night. And I was losing my mind. Do you remember how I was absolutely losing my fucking mind? And the medium said, well, your daughter, her name's Terry. She's wonderful. She's been on our podcast. Your daughter is an empath. And that's why she is like, you know, my son wasn't affected. I mean, a little bit, maybe a little bit. He had like a couple little moments where he was like, I feel like someone's tickling my feet. And then he was over it. Like, he just didn't, you know. And I said, oh, really? He's like, yeah, someone. It was right when we moved into this new house. Someone keeps tickling my feet. And I go, oh, okay. Fuck, and I call Karen. But it's because my daughter is an empath. And so someone tickles her feet. And she's like, everybody out. Like, she flips out. She wakes up. She has to wake the whole house up. And she can't go back to sleep. And she's not happy because she absorbs that energy very easily and quickly. Wow.
And she's probably more of even more of an empath than like most. Like, most kids are empathic, but I think Claire is way more. And
100.
She's probably an indigo child.
Well, she is a people pleaser, first of all. At 2, and especially now at 3, she'll ask you, Sam, are you happy? Like, she'll go up and ask you and make sure that you're happy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So I think she was like really like this, whatever energy this was, which thankfully was cleared, and I haven't talked to you about it, but I think maybe has come back. I got to talk to
you.
Because she keeps now saying, oh, and she's saying it matter of factly, oh, mommy, the bad man's here again. And she hasn't said that in months.
Really?
And that's what she used to say when we first moved into this new house. Oh, there's a bad man here.
When did you move in? What month did you move in?
Exactly July.
Okay, that
exactly
may be,
this month.
Then we may be having a might be a time thing. But Claire is going to outgrow it or be able to deal with it on her own. But I do think she's an indigo. I think she's got way more
than
empath going on.
What is an indigo?
Indigo is the next generation of children that are very much more enlightened than we are. In fact, a lot of them, people are having trouble with their kids now because their kids are coming into this world wanting to straighten it out and love and light, and they're like, why do we have to watch the Kardashians? What is this about materialism? And they're getting very messed up.
Interesting.
But
they're getting messed up, or they're
the kids are very
because our world is not set up for them,
and they're going to fix it.
Our world is set up to get likes on social media.
Yeah. So they're coming in and they're overly sensitive like this.
Yeah.
And they're very, I just read for a tarot party at a school. I swear to God, this kid's 5. He comes in. Where the adults were, I don't know. But I was reading for kids. And you know what? No one's getting a unicorn. There were a lot of broken hearts as I was doing my reading. Yeah. And this little kid comes in and he's like, he can barely talk. I don't know what 5 is, but he's very young. And he says to me, I go, what would you like to know about your future? Because now I'm just playing mom with them.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want to know if I'm going to be a good person and I'm going to be able to overcome all these. He starts talking to me and I'm like, whose kid is this?
Yeah.
And I go, this is a Buddhist. He's talking to me about Buddhist principles and changing his life for the next one. And when he's done, I run out to the father and I go, this kid was a Buddhist in his last life. You know, he was a monk probably. And the guy goes, I know, he meditates all day. And I'm thinking, what is that? And how lucky are you to get a kid that meditates all day? And he was so far advanced. And in one little girl, her mom was holding her, and she goes, wait a minute. Again, these kids are so young. She goes, why? How do you look at those cards and then you know the future? And I was like, she is on that verge, and she's trying to understand it. But it was fascinating. But yeah, the look up Indigo Children. They're going to help out a lot. But you may be having sort of a seasonal where it may even be a residual.
Oh, a seasonal ghost.
Yes,
a seasonal ghost. Like seasonal, you know, allergies. Yeah.
It's kind of like those Sam Adams beers. Yeah. They're seasonal ones.
Exactly. Because, you know, from November to December, my friends that work on the, like Tommy the demonologist works on the bad cases.
He only gets called in when it's bad.
He only does it when it's bad. He's kind of... He gets called in when it's really bad, when things are flying around your house and your kids are in danger and people are being dragged around, because he's just sort of, he stays sort of out of it a little bit. He's just so brilliant. You got to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Between I think November and December, we do nothing because everything is moving backwards. So if you go in to try and cleanse a house, you're almost giving energy. It's almost useless because it's flipping backwards. But as soon as you hit that new year, let's go in again. Let's do it.
So November, December, just let it ride.
Yeah.
As long as nobody's getting killed and your pets
or there's nothing you can do.
They even told me that, like, we were having all of this and it was falling into November and December, and Karen's like, you just had to wait. Just got to, like, just white knuckle it.
And she had actually, this was very smart. This is where your haunting helped me, because like the thing is, if something like this is coming through, which we were fairly certain it was human, so you're going to mess up the vibration, you want to screw up the vibration so this thing can't come in, so you want to use things like magnets, like we use rare earth magnets, and you put them on the walls and they send out a and the thing doesn't like it. It's like a bad, like the other guy had a song, some guy sent you a
yes,
song.
Yes, this Indian guru, I mean, I went out to everybody. Everyone you can think of, I connected with. And then Indian Guru gave me a song to play, and he says that bad spirits, any spirit really, doesn't like this vibration. To them, it's like a...
That song would have a vibration.
It's like Nickelback.
Right.
They're That's just exactly, like, stop it!
That's exactly
no
it.
No more corporate
right?
rock!
Right, yeah. Right. And so I did that, but that didn't quite help.
We chipped
Either.
Away at it,
we
I think,
chipped
is what
away.
Happened, and
Here's
it became annoyed.
One of the things that I think might have helped, I don't know if I even told you the whole story of this, Rick Overton, I told him this because we were having lunch.
He crushed that night, too.
Did he? Yeah, he's great. So Rick Overton, another comic, he said, look, you look like you're in a bad place right now. call my lady. Because I told him, I was like, Karen Rentowski, and I've done this, and I've done that. He goes, she is kind of expensive. But she's going to do something you've never seen before in your life.
He's like, you know, everyone's got weed guy. He's
right.
got like a spirit.
He's got the
person.
Yes.
Call my person.
Call my person.
He's got pure shit.
100%. I go down to her house. She's down like in the South Bay. She has me sit on a massage table. Okay. She lies down on the floor underneath the massage table. And for half an hour, I'm not allowed to open my eyes because she's going to look through. I don't know what the fuck is happening. Through the massage table into my eyes. And she's like, I'm looking through your house right now. And she's describing my house that she's never been in.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck is that? That's
and
some ZZXYZ. Yes.
And what did you, but when we were
oh,
doing.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we were doing her house.
We need a tinfoil suit, not just hats. We need the whole suit.
When she had the magnets, her husband was like, no, can't do magnets because kids eat magnets and it's all immediate poison.
Yeah, they'll die.
So I was trying to sew magnets into little dolls and stuff. And then we did, the other one was black light.
We did a black light.
A black light, but you got to have it in the room. When people really have trouble, like in the haunting in Connecticut or whatever, black light, they have the family sleep in a place or black light, and then the husband Mike is like, we're gonna damage their eyes, so we're like, okay, no, but like everything I had, he was like, not in the kids' room, can't do that, you know,
he's like, not on board. He's not on board. I mean, he's fine, like he puts up with me,
right,
but he's not on board. He's not like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Like, I'm walking around the house with Karen's bells, ding, going all around the house. I was smudging one day when the Time Warner cable guy came.
You're smudging.
I was smudging.
That's when someone walks in and you're smudging, that's a weird moment.
It was a babysitter. Okay. And we put stuff over a hat. So, no, I had all the doors open because you told me to open all the doors, right? Okay. So all the doors and windows are open. There's a lot in this house, like sliding glass doors. Everything's open. And I have, what's the Palo Santo?
Palo Santo. Palo Note Santo. For your listeners, sage brings in light, can open up doors, do not want. If you have a problem, don't use sage, use Palo Santo. It gets rid of negativity.
Right.
When would I not use sage? When what's going on?
When you're trying to break up negative energy and get rid of it, and it's really bad, you want to use a piece of stick of wood called Palo Santo. You can get it on eBay for 10
cents.
Oh,
I got like five. Yeah, I got a bunch. And so I'm like doing all this all around the house, and I'm talking to it. And some people said, you know, speak nicely. Like, hey, you don't live here anymore. You don't exist here anymore. We're living here now. Please, you know, leave this space so we can live here. And then other people said, you got to tell that, no! Like, you got to talk to them like a bad dog.
Like the
that
dog just pooped.
Yeah.
Stop
and
it.
And so I decided to try the other way this time because I tried the nicey-nice way, right?
Yeah.
So I treated the ghost like it was a, you know, drunk heckler. And I was just like, get him out of here, right? So I'm screaming. The Time Warner guy, unbeknownst to me, went through our back gate and he's in the backyard. And I was like, get out now! I'm screaming, thinking I'm by myself.
Oh my God.
You are not welcome here! And I'm like in this low demon voice, and there's all this smoke coming out of my house, and I just see him. And I go, oh shit! And he's like jiggling with his belt, you know, like all his equipment. He's running, running across the backyard.
He got scared
and he went to his car.
Dude,
and they called me and they go, can the Time Warner guy come and service? I go, yeah, he's totally welcome. They're like, he was just there. He got scared.
And Latinos, I'm assuming he's Latino. That was pretty racist of me, but...
He wasn't. No.
Okay, because we had a couple Latino Time Warner guys come in, and I could just imagine what... No. Like, because they're totally into the whole
special. No, he was Beardy McFluffy here over here.
Oh, he's done that before.
Yeah. Yep, I was a Time Warner guy.
Were you? Yeah, you look like your brother, for
and
sure.
Just for your listeners, she was at a different point. Like, if you have something in your house, call a paranormal investigators before, because when we investigate, you have to be out of the house so we can take your things.
Yeah.
You don't want that ghost to figure there's an open line of communication with you now, because that is almost welcoming them. So we want to go in first and open that line of communication so they feel welcome with me, not you.
Ah.
It's very intricate.
Now, you've done some ghost chasing, right?
Uh-huh.
Any of the craziest stories? I mean, obviously the person yelling in the Portland tunnel was great, but has there been one where you're like, it got crazy?
Yeah, the craziest thing, and I'll always say, you bring someone that knows the death penalty to see this, is called a walk-on. Or a walk-in.
What?
Where it's not like a demonic possession, but where if someone in your group, if their aura is compromised and a spirit is, you know, strong enough or manipulative enough, they can enter their body. And it can be anything from the person all of a sudden can't move, they're paralyzed, to someone like all of a sudden I'm screaming at you like I'm a pirate. Get out, yeah. And it's somebody else in that person's body. And it's not subtle. It's another person in your friend's body speaking to you a different way. And it's when the first time you see it, you're like, what? You know, when you, I just immediately thought all those people in prison that are like, I'm innocent. I think, oh my God, if something knew how to manipulate their body, that's the most shocking. It still shocks me every time I see it.
Oh, so there could be something where a demon jumped into these people's
body.
Not
a demon. Demon is a possession. Demon is it would be another human ghost. It would be another spirit. And here's the thing. They hang around bars a lot. Because
really?
When you're drunk, your aura is very compromised. In fact, the first time I saw it happen, we did not realize this person had a drug problem. And nobody really knew. And he went out. Like one of the mediums in the group went, somebody's not okay. So when you feel that, you shine the light on the person's shoes so you don't blind them. And you go, hey, I'm Kira and I'm okay. Hey, I'm Ryan and okay. Come the next guy, he was out. And something had happened before then that we probably should have known. Something was already scratching at the back of his neck, which is an entrance point. If you're in a haunted place and there's a scratch behind your neck, something's usually trying to enter you. There's a couple of entrance spots. And
that's
we had to get him.
For my husband. Right? Yeah, that's true.
I've heard that.
And that was a life-changing moment for me. And then when I got my attachment, it's very interesting how susceptible we are to things that we don't even know.
Oh, that's so
Yeah, that was
so. The guy was possessed.
We don't say possessed because when a demon possesses, we call it a walk-on. Because a human spirit, they also, unless they are, you know, people that are very intense in life, they can only sustain it for so long. So it's not going to go on forever. But they can, you know, like this one probably wasn't that strong. It was on the Star of India. And the guy went out. He lost control of everything. He could barely talk. He was like, oh. But and then another one happened where I saw where it was a woman that doesn't even swear. And all of a sudden there was like this angry spirit in her. And she was half aware. So one minute she was going, I can't get it out, I can't get it out. And the other minute she's going, fuck you, get out of my house. That, you know what I mean? Like there was this multiple thing going on. And it was, you know, that's a human on a human is a walk on. Possession with the demon is a whole different, and there's like a systematic way it has to happen.
Have you ever encountered a demon or a spirit or anything over and over? Like you're like, oh, it's Bob again. Bob. And now you're like in Portland, then all of a sudden you're in like San Diego and look who showed up. Like it's some episode of Charmed. You're like, oh, look who showed up here, rhinoceros man. Get out of here, rhinoceros man. You're like, oh, Charmed, you won't date me. I hate you. Like some weird something like that.
I haven't. I have a friend, but I will tell you the fairy attachment that I have that I was very aware of, that I actually see that experience as a learning experience, because now when someone comes in for a Reiki session, I kind of know what the deal is. And I know how seriously to take that and how seriously to take your actions of, are you going to, let's just fool around with witchcraft. Let's, you know, that kind of thing. Or people that ghost hunt and they don't know anything about ghost hunting.
They're like, hey, let's just go ghost hunting.
Yeah. But I'm very, in fact, I see that thing sometimes. And it's kind of like, because now there's a connection between me and it. And I'm kind of like, no. But I have a friend who has the same voice, the EVP voice, show up. Wherever he goes, sometimes it shows up. So it's something with him. But that can also be a guide or an ancestor that's with you a lot. So it's not always evil, but it's not out of the question. But that thing, I know it's in my apartment sometimes, and I'm like, nope, we're not going there.
I want to, we'd like to do a tarot card reading here in a few, but I want to go back to something you said earlier, and we kind of moved so quickly I couldn't talk about, but you say you like pictures?
Yeah, I like to take photos.
Do you have any?
I have my best ones. Actually, there's a thing on Facebook where I took, where I wasn't even ghost hunting.
Where can we look that up?
If you go to my Facebook page, it's actually an album, and it was at the Joke Joint in
Houston,
Minneapolis. And then I found out the place was a brothel before. Or at one point, the building was a brothel, which then makes it hugely haunted. And I can show you something on the picture, because a lot of people send me their pictures, and orbs are not, a lot of time orbs are a very touchy subject, because 99%.
How do you spell your last name?
R-O-N-T-O-W-S-K-I.
I mean, speaking of brothels, how possessed is the Comedy Store?
Oh, it's awfully, it's awful. And
it's not good.
No, it's bad.
I had a ghost push me in the belly room. You know those like 3-4 steps from the mezzanine to the main part of the belly room?
Yeah.
I was pushed down. I was by myself. I was setting up for, remember Adam Barnhart's show every Sunday? I was there always the first one to set up. And I would put out the candles. Remember he did rose petals? Remember all that? He'd put candy on the tables. Yeah. I had to do all that shit. Wow. So I'd take the candles out of the seats. I think they've remodeled those since.
Yeah.
But and then I'd walk up the steps, and then I had someone push me down those steps. I fell just a dead weight all the way down and left immediately. I was like, I'll wait until Peter Sprite shows up or Brian Keith Etheridge or Aaron Cater.
I've seen spirits. We've talked about it on the show before. I was in the lobby of the main room. It was completely, I was there. I ran somewhere, and maybe 10 minutes later I come back and the room is completely black. And I go, did anyone come in here and turn these lights off? And they're like, nah, I didn't see anybody. And I go in there and there's this weird sliver of light that I can't figure out where the light is coming from because there's no light source. And the only light source is way down the hall from outside, which it would have to bing, 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 bing. And then to get here, and it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And And I was just staring, and then I just see a black figure just...
Oh, fuck.
Went right in front of it.
Yeah.
I was in the green room and of the main room hanging out, and somebody just... There's a shower there for some reason, because back in the day, that's where the dancers would dance. And I just heard the knob turn... And water started coming.
Oh, shit. Let me ask you a question. You know that bathroom that's kind of like, kind of shares a wall with the main room lobby?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go, what happened in there? Do you know any
death,
inside stories?
Yeah, because that was...
Because whenever I've used it in the past, I always go, oh, fuck, why did I use this again? There's a woman's room. I don't know if there's a men's room there, but there's a woman's, like, powder room.
I know where it is.
And I always go in and always just... I go, nope, I'm going to pee somewhere else. I always forget that something...
It was
just
an old mob bar.
Right, what was the name?
It was an abortion clinic. They think upstairs in the belly room was an abortion clinic way back in the day.
Oh. What do you mean way back?
Like, in the 30s.
It's going to be again
soon. I've seen some abortions on
stage. We're
going
to have to do some Comedy Store
abortions.
Plus
that, when you say the room is black, before something comes through, we call that veiling, where you think you're in a dark room and all of a sudden it's darker than dark. That's something trying to come through. So that's why it would have been so black before.
It was so black. And then that bright white light that I don't, to this day, have never seen it.
The Comedy Store might actually have a wormhole, or like a, not a wormhole, a... what is it? A vortex. Yeah. I think because once you get that negativity, it starts to attract more, you know.
No.
But they have stories of coming in and all the chairs are back up on the tables. That's not human. That's some humans can lift maybe up to 2 pounds. Human could push this a little bit. Human spirit could push this. But once you get into that heavy, that's something else.
Who wants a reading? Who am I reading?
I do. You want a reading.
Sam,
you asked for a reading.
We'll get it. We'll get it down in the basement.
Look at him scared. Look how scared he is.
Sam, you're half Armenian. That means that you have pagan.
Would you go
in
to the hotel with us sometime? What's that hotel?
I'll bring everything.
The Stay on Main, which was originally the Cecil Hotel.
You can get into that.
Well, yeah.
I have been trying to get into that. We've got to get Ryan Singer. I've been trying to get into that for months. The old, it was the
Cecil Hotel.
Amazing, where the woman was in the water tower. They're redoing it. Mm-hmm. It's under construction right now. But we got it. And Stay on Main was because they want away from that reputation.
Yeah.
But then American Horror Story did it. So, yeah. Oh, I've been dying to get in there.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Sam, let's see this.
Okay.
This one.
And since we don't have time...
Why would you do this?
It's okay. Karen will read you and I'll read you and it's fine.
Since we have a limited amount of time, is there a topic you want us to hit? Because we can be more specific with a topic.
I'm fine with whatever. You guys pick whatever.
Choose your intent.
I don't know. No.
How about the success of the podcast?
Yeah, you want to do the podcast?
Am I going to be healthy? Am I going to be live a healthy life?
Yeah.
I'm like, would you tell me if it was bad? You're like, oh, dude, you are going to...
I don't think we need to tell you that it's bad. You already know.
Okay.
Next question.
It's worse. It's going to get worse.
Let's do podcasts and stand-up. Let's do podcasts.
Okay, yeah.
The success of your podcast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can't believe you won't do this, dude. That's not cool. You were supposed to do this.
See, isn't it?
You know what? I would rather, but it's okay. I'm doing you already because I don't know anything about him. And that's
my favorite.
See,
that's what I would
like. Okay, but I don't know your childhood, so it's fine. The first thing that pops up is,
I got tiny hands.
No, your hands look great. Very masculine, very thick shaft. very nice circumcision job, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I can see that.
I take pride in it.
Go ahead.
There is something about this podcast that you got over. Like there's a hump or there's a number or there's a something that right now you're going over it. And actually the money is about to increase.
Okay.
Number one. But number two, there's something about it that has come to a conclusion or an ending. It's showing me literally you guys are on, something is ending and something is beginning. You have the death card, which is the best card. It's the end of stagnation. Wherever you think you were stuck, you want to go right into that right now. There's going to be a little more resistance and you're going into a spot where the competition is more. I don't know how else to say that, but it's like the podcast is going to the next level and that is going to reflect on you as for what you're ready to take on.
Oh.
Okay. Like if you have a fear of success or failure, whatever it is, that's going to start to overwhelm and you're going to be like, dude, I didn't think it was going to go this far or something like that. There is also a, what's coming up with it is it's moving to the next level, but it's almost like people are going to go, well, what are we going to do with it now? And you're like, it's just a podcast. And they're like, no, no, no. There's something else. And you're going to almost be confused by that. Like, what are they saying? Is this a TV show? Is this a what or what? And it's going to actually be a battle where you're going to be like, do we stick to exactly what we decided, or does it move to the next layer? And I'm leaving you on that battle, on that confusion.
Okay.
But something is an absolute stop and start. Like, we're done with that. Now we're going here.
Okay. That's so interesting, because that's totally going on right now.
My thing is, I first thing I always read when I read people is just kind of like the whatever you have like on the surface. So like think of it as like you're wearing a sweater. I can tell you what kind of sweater it is because I have to like take that sweater off before I get to the next layer. And sometimes I say this to people. It's an analogy I use a lot. Your energy right now is like when you try to find a radio station. You know how it's like, hey, the weather is going to be 58 and blah, blah, blah. Like it's very, and this goes back into even childhood. It's very hard to focus because there's a lot of just lots of information shooting at every single different angle.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I don't know if this is from childhood as well, but it feels like, were you told a lot of different things as a kid? Like, you can do anything. You're stupid. Like, was it like confusion and chaos?
Yeah, of course.
Well, sure, yes, but some kids weren't. Some kids were like,
I was raised by a guy who told you to me, and he's a wonderful person.
Sure.
And I love him to death. My father was a very paranoid human being.
Wow.
And he very much instilled into me the need to scorch the earth if people fucked with you. And it's like a horrible way to deal with people.
Well, it feels like there was always
contradiction
and like either you always misheard something or you feels like I didn't get all the information and now I have to move forward and I don't feel like I have all the information.
And that happens where like I take little information and I make the whole story up.
And I'm just interesting. Like, yeah.
You know, it's like you'll read like a fucking title of an article and you'll be like, oh, I know the story. And you're like, instead of like reading the
whole
thing.
But that's why you love this. I just started doing some stuff on my podcast that like that. But my childhood wasn't like that. My childhood consistent hate. Consistent.
I have a question for you. This is going to be weird. Wherever you live right now, was there like a roof that was taken apart? Is there like a hole over your head?
I lived in a house.
Yeah.
Not where I live right now. It could have been, but not since I've been there.
Okay.
But when I was in college.
No, this is recent. But go ahead. Finish your story.
Well, when I was in college, crystal meth had just hit. And this guy we didn't realize how much he was doing. And he was like, we're like, man, we got to fix this house. The roof is lit. He's like, oh, man, I'll just fix it. I can fix the roof. No problem. And he came. He pulled the entire roof off, and we never saw him again. I lived in a convertible.
You know what? That is what this is. Because I literally see you living, and you see the sky.
I lived in a convertible for like a month. Like, the house was a convertible.
Yeah, that's okay. So that is what this is. Yeah. So for some reason, I'm seeing it like, was it the house like round?
I haven't lived in a round house. It was just.
It feels like it had like a lot of round, almost like, this is so weird. Yeah. So I don't know what happened to you during that time. Is that like a major thing? Like, that's when I started comedy or something major imprinted on your life, that moment of living where you can see the sun. Like, you could see the moon and the sun like a skylight. Like
I started doing comedy right around that.
Right
as
around
well.
That time.
It was about 1993 or 4.
Yeah. Okay. Karen has a question.
In this change, you need to verify everything. I'm going to repeat that word, verify everywhere, because you have a betrayal coming.
Ryan.
Oh, no!
Aaron.
But you don't know what it is?
We'll talk after.
Okay.
I can look into it and talk after, too. Okay.
It's not immediate. It's not here.
Okay. It's not.
Okay. What other questions do you have? What else? Do you want to do health?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can be honest with me.
Oh, I don't see anything bad anyways.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll tell people, like, I'll tell women, oh, you got to go to the OBGYN.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And then they go and then they like had a thing removed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. So like that kind of stuff. So it's never like anything like terrible, terrible. But you do need to go to the OBGYN. You have a uterus that you didn't even know about. They call it a stealth uterus. And let's see. Let me see.
Does this make it really hard right here to be on point? Like to be in this on this podcast, which has a certain level of success.
It's a certain level of distraction.
And it is this like, you got to nail this or else people be like, whatever, she wasn't right on that. Like, is there a sense of pressure?
People will say that anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. People will find fault. But here's the thing. Sometimes with a reading, we nail it down the line. So if you don't hear it on the podcast, it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's like saying, like, why didn't you fall in love with that person immediately at the coffee shop? Well, sometimes these things take a little bit. You know, like, I have to really sit with you.
Right, right.
We do an hour podcast.
Yeah.
The last 10 minutes are usually the best because we've really, like, dug in into the
person. And I do readings every day. That's what – I do readings over the phone. I have a clientele. If people want to book, they can go to my website. And, we still on health?
I'm just looking at – I don't know if – did you have a surgery?
I haven't had a surgery, but I've had – No, I mean a long time. I haven't been in the hospital.
You haven't been in the hospital, but you had something taken out, like an appendixy type of thing that didn't really like it. Wasn't
not
like,
with surgery, just with a spoon.
Were you in Malaysia and one of your kidneys is now missing?
I haven't had. I just recently had blood work done.
No, that's not it.
Is there a change you're making right now? I have you walking away from something like I'm all done with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't let that.
Oh my God.
Don't let that cause anxiety. Whatever you're worried about with that, it's going the right way.
Oh,
okay?
Really?
Yeah. And if you're having trouble sleeping, that will pass also.
Okay. I have a problem with resentments and holding it on, and I try to kill it off because I see it happening like through recovery. Like I have a drug problem that I don't do now, but I had it, and it... There is resentments, and I have to catch myself stopping pushing the resentments out. But it does play over and over in my head.
You know what? There's a really good book called Radical Forgiveness that I just started. That is awesome. It's like a workbook where you have to do it. So I think that'll be really good for you. But don't remember worry and resentment. What do they say about resentment? It's poison.
It's like taking poison. It's like trying to poison somebody by taking the poison. It's totally true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I really don't see, I'm going to talk about the surgery thing off the podcast, but I don't see anything major for health.
Okay.
But there's a surgery question I have, and we'll just do it off the podcast.
Okay. And there's a decision you're going to make. It's a decision. So I have it as a decision. So it might be the same thing, but as a,
This is why you didn't want to do this, right?
Yeah. And I'm super sensitive too. So I was afraid I might cry on air.
You know, well, this is a short. I don't know how long you're.
I wasn't sure how long it would be. I mean, I would love.
We do long because we have to get into it,
right?
And then sometimes we'll say something at the beginning, and then at the end of our podcast, it comes full circle.
Oh,
you're getting a puppy.
Oh,
and there's things that they call psychic amnesia. Where and I even had this happen when someone gave me a reading where you'll go this woman was going you could describe someone perfectly. I go, and then they this person always wears a hat, like not a trendy hat, they have a hat they wear, I don't know who that is, but it's always with red sneakers, and it's, you'll describe it like no, and then halfway in they'll go, oh, that's my husband, and you'll be like, oh, you know, like they'll blank. And so it's always, there is that, they're in the moment and they're trying so hard, and they shouldn't even try to make it fit. And when that happens during a reading, I just go, okay, then I'm going to leave that there. Like I said, this woman, I keep seeing a necklace. What's about this necklace? She kept going, nothing. And she goes, you know, my mother just gave me a necklace yesterday. And I was like, do you get the connection?
Oh my God.
We had a guest.
Did you see weird shit? Is that why you're like,
I'm
going
to talk to you off air.
Oh no.
It's not bad. I actually do see one good thing. I'm going to tell you what the one I see.
Well, yeah, that'd be fun to end on with.
I think it's more interesting to end this way.
I know. Well, I got to talk to you after. I saw a good thing. Anyways, wrap it up. Say goodbye.
Continued. So you, I don't know who you're working with right now, like in terms of like manager and agent wise.
Yeah.
But actually, and I know this is a kind of a general thing that all comics and actors and anyone in the industry goes through. It's like, oh God, are they going to do anything for me?
Right.
But there is an upcoming thing that they finally put a seed in that you were like, oh, I never thought about doing that. Like maybe it's like a book or something that they were like, I'm going to hook you up with a publisher. And you're like, what the fuck? That's really? Not what I'm going to do. But it really works. Do you have a team right now?
I have a guy.
A guy. So he's going to bring something up to you and you're going to be like, what the fuck? That is not what I want to do. It's actually going to shoot. It's going to skyrocket. So just, you know, think of everything that he's like kind of, oh, brainstorming, and write him down and be like, ooh, what is this?
I love it.
You know, because there is something that finally, you're going to be like, finally did something good.
Okay, I appreciate that. I love you. Can you guys tell us any dates you might have in terms of stand-up or anything you might want to promote real quick?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Santa Barbara at the Comedy Hideaway. You guys know that
it's coming back.
July 14th, everybody. I believe that's a Saturday. That is a Saturday. Good. I'll be there July 14th, Comedy Hideaway in Santa Barbara.
And I will be in Phoenix at Stir Crazy July 19th through the 21st.
Oh, I love it. We do Tinfoil Hats live shows. We do stand up in a podcast, sometimes in the Belly Room, sometimes at the Ice House. When we do next one, we'd love to have you guys on.
Yeah,
and
we'll
do a fun show. And
yeah.
Sometimes we have flat earthers on, and sometimes we have paranormal. We'll have some paranormals on too.
Yeah,
so
I'd love to.
It's a lot of fun. We're going to end with everybody's favorite segment on the show. And again, guys,
Aaron.
Don't be an idiot.
Aaron. You better be sick, dead, or mute. Aaron. You done messed up, Aaron.
You filthy animal.
Aaron, thoughts?
You know, I want to believe it. I love Karen. I love Kira. It's just not. I don't know.
It's a guy who loves baseball and stuffed crust pizza, dude. What can you do?
What don't you believe, Aaron?
He doesn't believe anything. He's been on every episode for 100, and this is 4. He believes nothing that we talk about.
I don't think he's listening.
I don't think he is. Yeah, I really think he's just checking his Facebook.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, guys, this one been one of my favorite podcast episodes we've done. So thank you. We'd love to do it again. If there's some big event coming up, we can get in some more. Maybe we'll just do a whole episode of you reading him.
Yes. I want to
so
see
much
you cry.
Fun. I want to make you cry.
Tears into your beard. That's what
guys, again, Skankfest. It is Tinfoil Hat with Tim Gillis.
I thought that was us.
No. We're going to be there, not this weekend, but the following weekend. Let us know if you can make it. Buy your tickets now. It's going to be a fun time. We love you guys, and thank you for all your support. Check out the t-shirts at allcomedytshirts.com, and check out what we're doing on Patreon, patreon.com/tinfoilhat. We love you guys. Take care.